Welcome to Do or Die, a podcast about competitive pinball. I'm your host, Raymond Davidson, here to help you stay up to date on the latest strategies, tournaments, and happenings in the competitive pinball world, while also sharing direct stories of me as I go forth on my pinball tournament adventures.
Welcome to another episode of Do or Die. I know it's been a little bit of a hiatus. Not a whole lot of crazy tournaments for myself lately, although there was a tournament in the Seattle Pinball League that I attended about a week ago, and that's what this episode's going to be about. So luckily, I got a new microphone. I think this one sounds a little better. Always appreciate all the feedback. Let me know what you think. And let's jump right into it. So the Seattle Pinball League, you might have heard a previous episode. Basically, it's a multi-round tournament where the first round is five games in your group of four, and it has 7-5, 3-1 scoring, and then the top 16 people move on to the second round. So, you know, usually need about 23-25 points to move on, which is usually like, you know, a couple firsts, a second, a third. Don't want to get any fourths because those are hard to come back from, obviously. And then after the round of 16, it just goes straight to top four. And then the four players play a Papa Finals style, three-player 4-2-1-0 to determine the winner. So the first game I got to play, I got to choose the first game. So you take turns choosing the game, and I got to choose Simpsons Pinball Party, because I absolutely love that game. It's one of my favorite games of all time. It's kind of the game, whenever someone asks me what my favorite game is, I usually say Simpsons Pinball Party. I've owned it before. The only reason I don't own it now is because when I owned it, I literally played it like 2 hours a day, every day. Like, I just played it to death, and then, you know, got to the wizard mode multiple times, and eventually it started like, you know, do I really want to invest a couple of hours on this and play a game of Simpsons? And I was kind of like, no, I think I'd rather, you know, play something else now. I've done that, you know, been there, done that, played that game a ton. But I wouldn't mind getting one now again, you know, 5 years later, just because that game is so awesome. So that's why I chose it. And not a game you see in competition a lot. This one was not set in competition mode. And you can kind of tell one of the dead giveaways is when you start an auto mode, which is double scoring, which is activated by shooting the elementary school shot, which is the right inner loop shot. The game refers to it as the right... what is it called? Shoot the right loop. That's what they call it. They call it the right loop. And basically, if your double scoring mode you get is not the bumpers, then you are not in tournament mode. Because I believe the first double scoring you get is bumpers. And then it sort of rotates around the playfield, and the living room is your last award. And so I knew immediately it wasn't on competition mode because I got the living room as my first double scoring award. And your strategy changes a little bit because if it's in competition mode, you can light the garage and for mystery award and keep lighting TV modes that way. But when it's not in competition mode, the garage awards are basically random, which was kind of funny because some people were getting like two Cletus kids and other people were getting, you know, light TV mode or award lock or whatever. But it was still fun. So, you know, that was something I noticed right off the bat. I think double scoring on the living room actually doubled my monorail, which was kind of cool. That was the first mode I chose, sort of by accident. Usually the strategy for choosing modes in that game, which you do by hitting the right flipper, or left, I think, Or it might just, I think it's just the right flipper changes your mode, or maybe it's just the left flipper. I don't know. Either way, hit the flippers. You choose your mode on the little, there's like a list of all the modes by the TV. And you usually want to start with the crusty mode, because you start crusty mode and then you shoot the right orbit, and that gives you progress towards crusty, but also relights your TV mode. So you get your 2-for-1 special. Now you can go back up to the TV and start another mode. In competition mode, you don't really need to do that because, like I said, the TV will get lit from the garage mystery rewards quite often. So oftentimes in match play, I'll actually choose one of the modes that have sort of the easy shots, like Wiggum versus Snake or Willy's Woes are two of my favorite ones, because those both include hitting the auto shot, and the auto shot will reset your timer, which comes in handy, basically, and keeps your mode alive. So anyway, in this particular game, I started Ride the Monorail and was able to start multi-ball, and also started Homer's Day and beat Homer's Day. I really love Homer's Day with multi-ball because the final shot is the couch for the super jackpot, and it also beats Homer's Day. And so anyway, I ended up like 20 million after ball two, and that basically was enough. No one else really got too close. The game was set up pretty brutal. You know, no ball save, tight tilt. So I got a 7 points after the first game, and next I got to play Iron Maiden, which I was super stoked about. And this one was the premium, and it was a really weird game of Iron Maiden. I started Flight of Icarus and basically just never missed a shot. It was like, you know, 8-way combo, and I got like 400 million from Flight of Icarus, which was like my record. Like all-time best Flight of Icarus score, so that was a pretty sweet way to start off that game. Some interesting notes I found out was it's kind of an interesting strat to collect the second Tomb Award to start Super Slings from the left ramp, which then feeds out of the sarcophagus into the upper left flipper, and you can wail on the captive ball to start Mummy. So I accidentally kind of set that up where I started Super Slings and then immediately started Mummy Multiball. I just did like all the things. It was pretty incredible. Everyone, like, no one else really did a whole lot. So it was kind of wasted, but it was, oh man, that was awesome. I absolutely love Iron Maiden for that reason, where you can just get in a rhythm, and it's weird because sometimes you'll play that game and you'll feel like you're not getting any points. And that's because it is like one of the most perfect designed games where the points feel like they actually map to, like, you know, skillful events in the game that if you plan and execute, you get rewarded with points. And the things that are worth points are also the most fun things to do. So it's the perfect game where the fun thing to do is the same exact thing as the thing that's worth points, including the loop jackpots. Those are super valuable, and they're super fun. So Love Maiden got a first place on that one. So, you know, 14 points after two games. Next, we got to play Paragon. And this Paragon had a Powerball in it, and it also had the gate removed on the lower left. So that meant tap passes were a little harder, and using the left flipper was pretty dangerous, as in using it to trap the ball was dangerous, and dead passing off the right flipper was also dangerous. So I kind of just went into a little bit of a flail mode, just kind of, you know, keeping the ball alive. But then once I ever did get the ball trapped on the left flipper, I was able to execute some tap passes. But I also noticed, because of the Powerball, the spinner actually spun super well. So as opposed to going for the drops, I actually went for the spinner just to get my bonus. You know, I think I got like 10 bonus advances from one of those rips. So, you know, pay attention when you step up to a Paragon. Some of them have really nice spinners and some of them don't. But if you know, your go-to strategy should still be the drop targets, because they really don't drain you that often. And they usually, you know, feed back to your flipper and they give you bonus advance, obviously. Well, the third target gives you bonus X, but all the targets advance your bonus a little bit, like one or two increments. So never a bad idea to shoot for those left drop targets on Paragon. I ended up getting second, barely. Like, it was, I don't think anybody really did a whole lot, and I just kind of flailed enough to get second, so that was 5 points. And then we got to play Red and Ted's Roadshow. And I like that game. Whenever I played it in competition, it's usually set up really, really hard, like super tilty, you know, nothing but metal on the outlanes. But, you know, if you make your shots, this game is actually super controllable. And I, for some reason, I have this thing where I just love to go for multi-ball, even though I know I shouldn't. And so on ball one, I usually, well, I still try to get the skill shot, but I usually shoot the bulldozer. Just try to light locks on ball one. And I did that. I was able to light all my locks on ball one, but I drained getting to Friday. And so ball two, I ended up locking the three balls, started multi-ball, and did this crazy combination where I think I got like three jackpots in a row where the Ted, you know, he goes up and down and you have to shoot it in his head to get the jackpot. And so I shot like a ball up there, it went into his head, and then another ball like ricocheted into Red like right after that and got the Red double jackpot. And then a third ball that I was flipping with like my other flipper like slammed back into Ted again. And it did this constant stream of jackpot animations. It was so many jackpots that actually my opponent, actually I think Kaylee was one of my opponents. He was like screaming like, "Whoa, that's effed up. What's going on? That's clearly like you shouldn't just get free jackpots." And the other players were like, "No, he hit. I saw them. It hit that, then hit that, then hit that. It was crazy." And I'm like, "Eh." Yeah, I don't know what to say. I wish I, you know, it was definitely more accidental, but hey, you know, sometimes you make your own luck in these sort of things, and it was a pretty awesome way to get a whole bunch of points, was just getting a bunch of jackpots. But even after the multi-ball, I was able to just play modes and get even more points. This Roadshow actually had an interesting ROM on it, which I highly recommend that you at least try it out, which makes the cities sort of go all over the map, literally. So you don't just always play New York and then New Orleans or whatever the normal progression is. You can play a mode from pretty much anywhere in the country, with the exception that I think you have to play the West Coast modes last, which is good. It makes you, you know, play through all the modes, and still hard to get to the Wizard mode. And it was really cool. I got to play some weird cities that I hadn't seen before. Like, there's this one mode that all you do is hit the bulldozer once, and it's like a return of the taxi. Like, that was cool. It was like, you know, free 70 million points or whatever. So yeah, I really like Roadshow. I ended up getting first place on that game. The normal strategy is, by the way, if, you can either go for multi-ball or you can go for modes. And if you go for multi-ball, you should start doing it on ball one because it's a little dangerous. If you go for modes, that's sort of like a ball three strategy where, you know, you don't want to risk draining from the bulldozer, so you shoot ramps and you just combo the ramps. That's all you do, because the ramps give you bridge outs, which also advance your bonus multiplier, and they give you miles, which light your city, and then you shoot the scoop, start your mode, and just play the modes. The modes are worth points, except the New York mode. Don't play the New York mode, because if you're going to hit the bulldozer, you should be getting progress towards multi-ball. That's the strategy there. So yeah, I got first on that. So now I'm in the clubhouse. I've got, you know, first, second. So even if I get last on the fifth game, I'm still guaranteed to be in the finals, or in the top 16. So you might be thinking, well, what do I got to pick the last game. And it's like, well, what do you do? What do you pick when you know you're already in? And so I employed the Keith Elwin strategy of picking a game you think someone else might pick against you on especially like in the next round. So I picked Laser Q because I had a feeling that people would be picking that going on in the next rounds. And I picked it, and I did pretty good on it. You know, I cleared some racks, got some bonus multipliers. I was able to. The key to laser queue is learning all of the feeds, because if you can shoot those side stand-up targets and know that you can dead pass off the upper right flipper and catch on the left, that is huge valuable information. Knowing how all the dead passes work, knowing, when to drop catch and that sort of thing, that's really all that game is about, because none of the shots are safe. So the only control you have is when the ball is coming to your flippers, the best way to reduce the chaos and then try to aim your next shot. And yeah, I was able to sort of, guess a few feeds, and then once I saw that, oh, I can dead pass this after shooting the target, I was able to do that. Similarly, you should always try to hit two targets at once, because it'll give you credit for both, and it's a dangerous shot, so you might as well get two targets. And then when in doubt, just throw it up top. Laser Q, just keep throwing it up the right orbit, because you'll get pool, spell pool, which gives you bonus X. And I think every time you spell pool, it spots a letter in ball, and every time you spell ball, it actually spots you a ball. So if you hit, like 20 shots to the right orbit, you actually might progress like a ball or two. But more importantly, when you spell ball, it lights your spinner for 1,000 a spin, and that can be pretty juicy, especially if you land in the plunger lane, and then you can full plunge and get a bunch of spins. So I ended up moving on to the semifinals, and what do you know? First game, laser queue. Somebody chose laser queue against me, as predicted. And I crushed it. I got up like 500K and won it. So I got 4 points. It's a 4-2-1-0 in the finals. Next up, somebody chose Iron Maiden, and I did not get my 400 million Icarus, but I did get 150 million, which I felt pretty good about because it was playing really tough. But it ended up winning, so that was enough for Maiden. Basically, just play in the modes. Always play the modes, Learn the modes. If you don't know the modes, learn the modes, because Hell Would Be Thy Name is a very specific set of shots that if you know what's coming next, you can kind of plan for them. So like Hell Would Be Thy Name starts with any like left orbit, left ramp, left orbit, right ramp, right orbit. You hit any of those, and then you hit the captive ball. Then you hit any of the shots you haven't hit, and then you hit the three drop targets. And then you hit any of the shots you haven't hit, and then you shoot the center. So remember that, because it's like 100 million points if you beat that mode. Like if you do it really fast. So yeah, just modes, modes, modes. Loop jackpots are good if you can get in the rhythm. Always get your first loop jackpot, because the first loop jackpot will light your tomb award for 15 million, or at least, it'll give you a tomb award. And it's only like five loops, so you might as well just take it. Yeah, so that's about what I got to say about Iron Maiden. I'm sure we've all played that enough by now. It's such a great game. So the third game, oh, I got first on that one, and so I got two firsts. So I'm basically locked into the finals unless I get last and Dave Stewart gets first on the third game. But turned out third game was Roadshow, which I had already played that day, and Dave Stewart got last and I got first, which was the opposite of what he needed to happen. So I swept the round and got to move on to the finals. And the finals, well, somebody picked Flash Gordon, actually not somebody, Steven Donaldson, who pretty new to the Seattle Pinball League, but he has just like already, got up to speed and is just like kicking butt and taking names already. He made the finals of an SPL. It's really hard to do. So he picked Flash Gordon, and I did my usual thing where I just shoot the drop targets, but I kept missing, and when you miss them, bad things happen. So I don't recommend missing them, but I do recommend shooting for them, because those drop targets are safe, they're worth points, and you can keep hitting them over and over again. Even after you hit all the drop targets, you can hit the target behind the drop targets, and that'll give you like 50K or extra ball. So yeah, just shoot those inline drops on the right, and if the ball's on the right flipper, find a way to get it to the left. Alley pass works well on most Flash Gordons. Tap pass works well. Post pass can sometimes work, but I usually go for the alley pass. And so I ended up getting 250,000, which was okay, but Steven got like 300, and so he got first. He actually got a lot of points with the upper playfield. And after I saw him get like 150K before the ball even went to the lower flippers, I was sort of like, maybe there's something to this upper playfield. So on my ball, I you know, tried really hard to use that little mini flipper and keep it alive. And it does. It gives you a lot of points. Like, if you can keep hitting those drop targets up there, the points just kind of materialize. So I know it sounds obvious, like, yeah, keep the ball up there. But I don't know. A lot of times I just sort of wrote that upper playfield off as not really being all that important. But if you can read the bounces and know when to flip and when not to flip with the upper playfield or with the upper flipper, it's kind of like Black Knight 2000. You can kind of keep it up there going if you get in a rhythm where you bounce off the divider between the ramp and the eject, and then you hit it again, and then sort of let it bounce off there again and hit it again. Yeah, so that was something I learned, was there's actually some good points up there. So don't ignore them. So I got second on Flash Gordon, and now we're playing Paragon. And I mentioned earlier that the spinner was really juicy, so I would go for that. And I'm starting to think that that might have been a mistake, because it just throws the ball so out of control. Like, the speed the ball has when it's going through there, and then also sometimes it can go down the waterfall, and on this particular Paragon, the waterfall would actually throw it down the middle, which kind of was annoying, but you could save it, but you had to be ready. You had to do the perfect slap save. And so I think I probably would have just done better if I just did my usual strategy and just shot the drop targets, because when I did finally pivot, like I shot the spinner a couple times, because usually what I do on Paragon is I shoot the spinner a couple times and then go for drops, which is the right way to play it most of the time. But on this one, I noticed that I drained from the shooting the spinner just because it was so chaotic, and the ball that I actually focused on drops, I was able to get so much more done because I was able to just shoot the drop, catch, tap pass, shoot the drop, catch, tap pass, shoot the drop, catch, tap pass, shoot the scoop, scoop, kicks it up top, gives me some points. It's just, it's such a safer way to play. So if you're good at that, I'd recommend just sticking with that, because the odds just are better in your favor to not draining if you hit the inline drop targets rather than anywhere else on the playfield. So I got second on that game, barely, with 87,000, which was kind of sad. So I got 2 seconds going into game three. Unfortunately for me, Steven Donaldson won Paragon as well, so he's got 8 points after 2 games. So the only way for me to win is to get first and have Steven get last. And so, you know, you could just kind of like write it off, like, whatever, that's never going to happen. But that's not how you win tournaments. You have to pretend that the gods will, like, the pinball gods will have it your way every once in a while, right? Like, you can't worry about what happens to the other players. You just, if you do your part, it allows the other players to do their part. So I got to play the third game, which was Laser Cue. And I did my part. You know, I was kind of mad about the Paragon game, honestly, because it kind of sucked. So I kind of took it out on Laser Cue, and I just, like, focused and went to town and got, you know, another 500, 600K game. So I got first on that, and I was watching, and Steven did not have a good game. He had, like, 47,000. But someone else only got 22,000. So Steven got third place. And so it was kind of sad for me, but congrats to Steven, because he got, you know, just enough. He did just enough Laser Cue and then also crushed Paragon and Flash Gordon, of course. So congrats to him for taking down the Seattle Pinball League July event. And he got one of the coveted SPL medals, which are very hard to get. And yeah, That was the end of it. There would have been a tiebreaker if Steven would have got last on that last on the laser cue, and the tiebreaker I think would have been a random quote random. Just kidding, it's not random. It's on whatever the fastest playing game there is, which would have been actually I don't know what it would have been because we already played Paragon and we already played Flash Gordon, so it could have been on like an EM. I think Big Casino was there. So who knows what would have happened if the if I had to go to a tiebreaker. But yeah, it was a super fun day. We got some pizza that was there. Got to play a bunch of games. I got to remember how much I love Simpsons Pinball Party. Got to play Roadshow with the new code, which like I said, you should check that out. And yeah, it was a fun time. So I wish I had more for you this episode, but it was a it's pretty straightforward tournament, and all the games we played were kind of games that people have seen. I kind of played the same games every round, sort of thing. But anyway, my next podcast will be after Pinburg, so get ready for that. That'll be fun. Who's going to Pinburg? Anybody? Anybody going to Pinburg? I have a feeling might see some people there. But yeah, I don't know if you saw, I did a stream and I previewed a shirt I will be wearing at Pinburg, so I'm very excited for that. And speaking of streaming, I now have a new 60 frame per second webcam, so now with twice as many frames for your viewing pleasure. So I will probably be streaming slightly more often now that it actually looks decent. And you can find my stream at Twitch, Ray Day Pinball. That's RayDay Pinball. So if you want to see some pinball by me, you can tune into there. I always archive all my past streams, so you can always watch, well, they're highlights technically, but you can always watch all the past streams there. And yeah, I think that's all I got for this episode. Yeah, is there any news or anything? Oh, the leaked game that was leaked, Jurassic Park. Excited for that. Super excited. That looks like a fun game. That looks like Iron Maiden on steroids, and Iron Maiden is already pretty dang perfect in my book. So I can't wait for that. And Wonka is looking great. Can't wait to play some of that. I found out there was new dialed in code that reduces the Big Bang award. So now if you're in a mode, the Big Bang will not give you 50K and it will only give you half of the total completion bonus. Which makes total sense because before you'd always start a mode and use Big Bang, right? There was no reason not to because it gave you 50K and full value for that first mode. Now, for later modes, eventually it would tip the other way because the Big Bang would not award you the multiplied value. So on your fourth mode, after you have three SIM cards, the Big Bang, you'd lose out on 3x. But now they kind of move that decision up front and they say, hey, even for your first mode, you got to decide. Do you want a Big Bang and get your way out of this? Or do you want to play the mode and try to get the full points from it? And then once the mode is done, use a Big Bang and single ball play and cash in on that 50K, which I really like. I really think that was a great strategic decision. Joe Katz is great for keeping that game awesome. And I can't wait to install that on my dialed in. There was also, oh, Game of Thrones code. Dwight Sullivan has been releasing sort of secret betas on the Tilt forums, and I think it really changes up the strategy. It makes Lannister really, really strong. Lets you buy playfield multipliers, but I think he's going to limit that so you can only buy a certain number per game. So that'll be really cool to kind of know when to cash in. You're kind of like, all right, this is it. I'm using my playfield multipliers. Here we go. It kind of builds that pressure. So I'm excited to see how those games play out as opposed to the way they used to play out, which was, kind of monotonous, kind of you just slog through the modes and, maybe you'll get some big Martells or Greyjoys if you do well in them or whatever. But it was really just kind of going through the modes. But now with the Lannister multipliers, you know, you can really line up some huge stuff. And then also the other houses have cool perks as well. And let's see. Oh, speaking of perks, I heard that Jurassic Park is going to have Jurassic perks. So similar to Batman 66, whenever you capture dinosaurs, you get perks for the rest of the game. So I can't wait to see what those are. I think that's a great way to get you hooked on a game where you just keep wanting to go deeper and deeper because the game gets more and more fun as you get into it. I wonder if the perks are going to be like Batman 66, where there's like an additional ball to multi-ball, or extra ball saver, or double points on this ramp, or whatever. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I think that's all I got this episode. Thanks again for tuning in, and I will talk to you all after Pinburg, and you can talk to me at Pinburg, so just, you know, say hi, say what's up. If I'm playing a game, I'll probably be focused on the game, but, you know, any other time, I'd love to meet any fans of the podcast, yeah, I can't wait to see everybody. All right, that's it. I'll talk to you later. And remember, do and don't die, especially at Pinburg. Big tournament. Lots of walks. All right.